Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up! It's time for Just Chicago's Neighborhood Talk with Clifton Pierce. A Canon Media and Axe Entertainment Artists, Inc. production.
Yes, yes. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Just the Chicago radio show hosted by Clifton Pierce out of Chicago. You're tuning in. This is Sunday afternoon or evening. I know, you know, football is on, and I know the Heat is playing tonight. They're playing against the Boston Celtics. So thank you for tuning in before the game starts or during halftime. Just wanted to, before we bring in the man of the hour, I just wanted to, for those who did not know who Clifton is, a little background of what I've learned by dealing with him and talking with him for the past few weeks is that he's a people's person. He used to be a club owner, ran a lot of clubs. I mean, he loves his city, Chicago, and I think his mission is to rewrite the story of Chicago and what is being portrayed on the news as it being, you know, not a safe place. He is rewriting it, showing us the beautiful places of Chicago, all the beautiful people that live there, the history, the deep, rich history of artists and his community. So having said that, welcome, Clifton Pierce.
Hello, how are you?
Hi. I'm doing well.
Okay.
How about yourself?
Everything is fine. What's going on over there in Florida? What's the weather like?
Oh, well, right now it is about maybe 75 degrees. So, yeah,
75?
It's not too bad. How is it in Chicago?
Well, it's starting to get a little cool. It's starting to get dark early, so everybody's kind of like scurrying for cover. And
okay.
The Bears won. The Bears have won three games. Listen, they done won three games, and ain't won none of them. Every game has been an accident. Okay, that's all I can tell you, that every game was an accident. Yeah. Listen, we get a chance. Read Joshua 1 through 9. I want to start with that. Read Joshua 1 through 9, and it'll tell you about obedience, and also it'll talk about how Moses really didn't do what God said for him to do, and therefore he never saw the promised land, okay? And Chicago is a promised land. We are one beautiful city, okay? We have tall buildings. We got lakefronts. We got parks. We got the whole nine yards. You know, Chicago is one beautiful city, and I really hate to see it portrayed on TV like it is with the some of the shooters and killings that we have in here. And it's just hard to conceive that, you know. The president, he sent in 300 extra U.S. Marshals and FBI agents, and the killing is still the same. So, you know, there's a lot of money being spent here. Matter of fact, the city has spent over $900 million on violence prevention and ain't stopped nothing. So, you know, I want to know what that's about. But listen, let me tell you who some of our guests are today. Mr. Cicero Blake. Ask him, is he on the line?
Mr. Cicero Blake, if you're on the line, please press 1 on your dial tone. Please press 1. Mr. Cicero Blake, if you're on the line.
Okay, we also
How about
have
he is. He's here. He's present. So who else?
Okay,
roll call.
Good. We also got Cookie. That's Coco Taylor's daughter.
Okay.
Do you know who
Miss
Coco Taylor
Cookie.
Was?
I mean,
do you know who Coco
vaguely,
Taylor was?
I'm not gonna lie to you. It's fun. I'm not gonna lie. I do not know.
Well, don't lie to me. Lie to me. We're in a court of law. Okay. Also, we
all
have
right.
Miss Betty White. Miss Betty White. Did you get Miss Betty White on the
okay.
line?
Okay, Miss Betty White.
Now you got Miss White. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I believe so.
Okay.
And then we have all three of the people are present. Yes, they are.
Okay, so Mr. Dipper, his Dipper, and somebody else's Dipper. That's Cicero Blake, one of our blues legends. Cookie, which is Coco Taylor's daughter, and we also got Miss White, Artie Blues White. That's his wife. And so we're gonna talk about the blues and music and what a lot of people didn't know before this pandemic came about. The Mayor Lightfoot had declared live entertainment and music for the year of 2020 in Chicago. They had put up millions of dollars to promote the advertisement of our live entertainment in the city right here. And this pandemic has come along. As you know, two weeks ago, we had Chris on with the Temptations, and he was just talking about all the concerts in Vegas and Europe and all the other Germany and all the places they were booked have been canceled. So right now our musicians, you know, they need help. It's just that simple. The musicians need help. The various clubs need help. And this pandemic situation is going to go on at least to pass the first of the year, I would say. But one of the first things I want to do, I'm going to bring on Cookie first, simply because today is her mother's birthday, Cookie.
Okay. Cookie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Honored to be here.
Okay, great.
Yeah,
you're sounding great, honey. Whose birthday is it today? Can't you hear me, dear?
Hello?
I was asking, whose birthday is it today?
Tomorrow, September 28th, is my mother's 93rd birthday.
Is that right? And we're so glad to hear about that, huh? Yeah. Tell us a little something about your mother. Where did she come from? Where's her hometown? When she was in Chicago, where did she live?
Well, my mother came from Tennessee, the state of Tennessee. Mm-hmm. She was born in Bartlett, Tennessee, raised in Raleigh, Tennessee, and then she migrated from there to Chicago. In Chicago, she lived in Bronzeville, and then from there, Gresham Urban Park, and when she passed, she was in Country Club Hills.
Right, yeah. So I know some things about her myself. How did she actually get into the music venue as a whole? How did she get into music? How did she get into singing?
Well, my mother originally started, she was singing in the Church of God in Christ, raised in the Baptist Church, came to Chicago in 1953 and joined United Light Church of God in Christ, Bishop Jonathan Greer. And as a result of that, my father was a friend of James Cotton. And they would take her around.
That's the blues grade, right, James Cotton?
Yes, the blues harmonic.
Right, okay.
And then he introduced my mother to Howlin' Wolf and also to Muddy Waters. So my mother started going to the different venues with my father. And my father told them, my wife sing gospel, let her go up and sing. And my mother only knew one song by Lowell Fulton. And she went on stage and did that. And after that, every time they would go, Howlin' Wolf would ask her, excuse me, to come up and sing. As a result of that, long story short, Willie Dixon saw her. And that's where it started, her career.
Now, how old was she when all this happened?
She was 27.
Okay, she was a grown woman. Okay, now, do you remember her actually working with Chess Music?
Working with who?
Working with Chess, Chess Recording Studio.
Yes, I do.
Now, how long does she have her contract with Chess? Was that who she was with when she passed?
She was Chess till their closing. And then in 1975, I think it was. It may have been 74, but I'm going to say 75. She started with Alligator Records under the leadership of Bruce Biglar. And
okay, now, Alligator is here in the city.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, listen, we're going to put you on hold for a minute because I want to talk to Cicero. Cicero, you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hello.
Where blues was showing up on fire. Where did you originally come from?
I'm originally from Jackson, Mississippi. And
okay.
I moved to Chicago 15 years old when I came here.
Okay. And how did you get in the music industry?
Well, I was being told that I knew how to sing, so why didn't I? I don't know. I have started out as a doo-wop singer back in the day, you know, and with a group out of Marshall High School. I was the lead singer for that group called the Cool Gents. It was back in 53.
Called the Cool Gents?
Yeah.
I remember that group,
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, it's good to say that they're all still around except one. He passed.
Is that right? Very good.
Yeah, everybody is alive. We are constantly in contact with each other.
Now, what kind of friendship did you have with Otis Clay?
Otis was one of my best friends, I could say. We were real close. We talked every day. I tell people now that I really don't have a lot of friends to talk to anymore because they're all gone, you know.
Right.
But,
by the way, how old are you? How old are you?
I'm 84.
What is it? Beautiful. Well, you know, Miss White and I, we did a tribute with you a couple of years back that was just fantastic. The people really turned out. You remember that?
Well, can you tell me where was that?
Okay, it was out in the suburbs there. You just got out of rehab from having surgery.
Oh,
anyway, you were one fantastic guest.
Let
me ask you this. Who are some of the artists that you have worked with down through the years?
I work with them all. If you name them, I work with them. And that's from B.B. King to Johnny Taylor to whoever. I work with them all.
I saw a lot of rivalry with Tyrone and Johnny. Was that real or was that just part of the game at that time?
No. That was never real. Tyrone and Johnny were very good friends. And
okay, I'm glad to hear that.
I did a lot of work with Johnny myself. He and I used to work twice a year at a club in St. Louis called Club 54. And we would do it twice a year there.
Now, I had a blues concert some years back at the Regal Theater, and Johnny Taylor and Tyrone got into it because wanted to close the show. They was arguing over who would close the show. But that sounds like them, don't it? Yeah. And they also were very competitive about who had the most jewelry as well.
Yeah.
Now, where did Tyrone originally work at before he actually started singing?
You know, I understand that he was working at some factory or something like that. I'm not sure. Because I met Tyrone later on in years. And because I met Tyrone at the same time I met a guy by the name of Hal Barrage. They used to be together all the time.
Hal Barrage. Yes, indeed.
Yeah. And so I met Tyrone then during that time. And I think the first time I ever saw Tyrone perform was at a club that was located on 39th and King Drive. And I saw him in there one night. He, Hal Barrage and Otis Clay was on the bill together. Yeah. And then I got to know him real good, you know.
Okay, now, let me ask you this. What do you think was one of your biggest sellers?
One of my biggest sellers? Well, I tell you what, it's still on the market after 40-some years, and there was a song, Dip My Dipper. Yeah, I recorded it in 1975.
Okay, Candace, is there any way we can pull that up? Cicero Blake, I Want to Dip My Dipper in Somebody Else's Dipper. I like to play that for the people that's listening in and let them see, because it really was sexuous back in that time, you know. And let me ask you this. Are you come on.
No, I was going to say, back during the time that record first came out, it was hard to get airplay because they said it was too suggestive.
That's what I'm saying.
But then too,
Now, where were you, Reverend WVON, when you came along? Who played our music before VON came along? What radio station played black music?
You know, I'm trying to think. It was like WSDA or something similar to that before he came along. Yeah, before the good guys got here.
Right. Yeah. Now, what record label were you at when you originally signed?
When I originally started, I was on a label called Sound Plus. Yeah, on Sound Plus.
Okay, was that out of Chicago? Where were they at?
No, that was out of Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay.
Yeah, the record we were talking
about. By the
way,
did you ever work with Otis Redding?
No, I
didn't work with him at all.
No.
What kind of guy was he?
Well, I didn't get to know him very well. I didn't know a lot about him. But I do. I knew his brother better because he booked me a lot of times. His brother did.
Roger Redding.
Yeah.
I think he might have been one of the first crossover artists. Because a lot of people in Europe and right. Now, what about Sam Cooke? Did you ever work with Sam Cooke?
No, I never had a chance to work with Sam. I knew him, you know, but I never got a chance to work with him. I said because in my early days, I was in the Air Force.
Is that right?
Yeah, I was in the Air Force and I was stationed like
Now, how you get in the Air Force? How was you black and in the Air Force? How'd that happen?
Well, I volunteered for the Air Force once I got out of high school. And I volunteered into the Air Force. And I did a lot of work in the Air Force on the show we called it Tops and Blues Show. We'd go from base to base and entertain those entertainers. And I guess that's why I really started getting into the music side.
Okay, we're going to take a break from you, Cicero, for a minute, and we're going to holler at Miss Betty White. Miss White, you on the line? Okay, I hear the doorbell ringing. That means Miss White, are you on the line?
Yes, good evening.
Okay, how are you, young lady?
I'm well, thank you.
All right. Listen, let me tell you a little story about Miss White. I never met her, but my brother and her husband were very good friends. My brother, they called him BW. And when I met Artie, he never called me by my name. He just called me Little BW. And he was some kind of guy. Artie was some kind of guy. Funny, I mean just straight out funny. He could have been a comedian, a stand-up comedian. And yeah. Am I right, Cicero?
You're right. You're right about
that. Yeah.
Yeah,
Artie could tell a joke.
He
had something to say, exactly. He had a comeback for the comeback at all times. And so anyway, you know, by me producing concerts and everything, it was always one of my wishes to work with Artie. And I never got the chance, you know, but I just loved him. I followed him. I had Bobby Bland at the East of the Rhine, and Artie came in for that show. And we kicked it around. I said, Mr. White, before it's over, me and you going to work together. And he went to Ohio on a concert, and when he came back, we were going to get together before he got ill and everything. But Artie, I had told Artie, you know, it's funny. Let me ask you this, Cicero. Did you ever work with L.V. Johnson?
With L.V.?
Uh-huh.
With L.V. Johnson? Sure, we did, yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
we
were
working
with LV a lot of time when LV was working with Tyrone. When he
yeah.
Did
you
talk Tyrone, yeah.
You talk about a man that was emotional. Was he emotional? I mean, this man could sing. This man could flat out sing. Okay?
Yeah,
and I'll tell you
right.
One time, I booked him in a club, blues club in Chicago, and it was wall to wall. People sitting all on the floor and everything. There just was no room to move. And,
yeah.
LV was up there playing, and his fingers froze. He's up there playing that guitar with all them rings on. So we had to take a pause for a minute, and I got the warm water to get them rings off of him, you know, and produce the show. But LV was one heck of a guy. He, too, was very much concerned about his people, and even to point that he bought a Bonanza. Remember when he bought that Bonanza out there on 95th? And he bought a Bonanza out there. That's with some the money he had got from Ichiban Records to do a recording for him. Once again, he too got sick. But when he got the money, he went and bought a Bonanza out on 95th, and at that time was an all-white neighborhood.
I used to go there sometime and eat.
Yeah, yeah. Them white folks said, if you don't get our name down off of that sign, he out there in Bonanza selling collard greens and cornbread and stuff like that. And they said, that's not on our menu. Yeah, I remember that well. But anyway, getting back to Miss White, Miss White come out of the corporate world, and I'd like for her to tell us, how did she meet a guy like Artie White, and how did you all end up being together like that? Miss White?
Yes.
Are
I
you there? Can you tell us how you did you end up meeting Artie, may I ask?
Well, everybody in Chicago knew Artie White. I followed his music.
One way or the other.
And I knew him before, but it wasn't anything other than from an admiration as far as his music.
Okay.
In 97, I met him at a Lou Milton concert. That's when our relationship sort of began. He was widowed
in
94.
Okay. Would you agree with Cicero and I that this man was so funny?
Say it again.
I say he was so funny. Artie could do a one-liner that would just blow your mind, you know.
Every time. Artie was one funny man. He was just funny. I used to quit look at him and laugh. You never knew what was going to come out of his mouth. You know, you never knew.
Absolutely.
So he just acted funny. And I tell everybody, I miss Artie a lot.
He would just look at him.
Because he and I would talk two or three times a day. Every day, when the day passed. Yeah.
Okay. So, Miss White, give us a little more background on Artie, Miss White, if you may. What people didn't know, Artie was a prolific writer. You know, Artie wrote a lot of his songs. And what album is that where he said, I'm in love with the bag lady? That was going to be a hit from him had he not passed. I'm in love with the bag lady. What album is that on?
That's on the package deal. Album.
Now, let me ask you this here. Go ahead, ma'am.
It's one of my favorite songs. I always tell him that I was his bag lady.
Okay. Yeah, so you say he might have wrote the song about you?
He actually didn't write the song, but he did a very good job in delivering it.
Okay. And listen, people didn't know, Artie had a band. His band could hit. Artie had a band that could hit on the real side. He had a band that could play behind him, you know. And but let me ask you this here. I'm going to ask you and Cookie about royalties. Are you able to get royalties off of any of the songs that Artie wrote? And Cookie, are you able to get any royalties off of what Coco might have performed or written? I'll go with you first, Cookie.
Oh, yes, I am receiving my mother's royalties.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. I'm glad to hear that. And how about you, Miss White?
Well, Artie didn't write that many songs. Any royalties that I would get from him would be from performance rights. He didn't write a lot of songs.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And Cicero, what about you?
I'm still waiting for him to pay me.
I'm still waiting
on my check.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you, Cookie, the foundation that you have, tell us about the foundation and what it actually does.
My mother founded her not-for-profit organization in order to assist musicians in emergency crisis, because most blues musicians don't have, and at that time, you know, years ago when she founded it, they didn't have health insurance. And found that a lot of musicians would get sick, and they had no insurance. Some weren't able to pay for their medication. There were a lot of musicians that was falling on hardship, that was unable to maintain their way of living. They couldn't pay their rent. They couldn't keep their lights on. And a lot of them couldn't even keep their phones on. And, of course, we know that having a phone is crucial to a musician, because that's how they would be reached by producers and promoters to get jobs. They would call gigs, you know. So that's what made her started her foundation. And she also did the Coco Taylor Scholarship Funds. And her scholarships were given to students, aspiring students doing not just singing, but just in the industry, period, be it being a producer, sound engineers, whatever it may be. Her scholarship funds went to Columbia College.
Okay. And how do you raise funds today for that?
Right now, honestly, her foundation has been sitting dormant for the past year, just a little before, but before it was all through in-kind donations, and we did a couple of scholarships to come in annually.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, right now there's a lot of money being put out here in the community, especially I have spoken with Holly Maxwell. I think we all know Holly. And she's talking about having a fundraiser for all these musicians, you know, just one big Zoom fundraising party for them. And we, at that time, your mother was, she was way ahead of her time. So today we need that more than anything else, you know. Ms. White, would you tell us about your foundation and what it's about?
Our foundation was formed in order to keep my husband's legacy alive and his. As you know, my husband helped so many young musicians coming along. They come to me and they say, well, Artie took me on the road the first time, or I got my start with Artie. And he embraced that. He was always trying to help young musicians and give them a chance. So what my foundation is about is also nurturing the same concept.
And how are you funded, may I ask?
Well, right now everything is dormant. With everything that's going on, we're dormant at the time, and hopefully we will be back up and running once this is over.
And to answer your question, to piggyback again, to reiterate what I said, all of us not-for-profit organizations, we're all funded by in-kind donations. Artie's Foundation, mm-hmm. as well as my mother's, that's where we look forward to our funds coming. We get a few from artists once they're up and working that will do fundraisers mm-hmm. for us. We also get donations from other organizations, but mostly, again, through in-kind donations. Am
okay,
I correct,
okay.
Betty?
Mm-hmm.
That is correct.
Ms. White?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. 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 Well, I'm looking forward to this pandemic being over. Go ahead, Ms. White. Mm-hmm.
I'd like to piggyback on, speak on Artie's and Cicero's relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when Cicero was going through his crisis, the first call in the morning would always be to Cicero by Artie. He would call him every morning. Mm-hmm. The first person mm-hmm. he would call.
Mm-hmm.
They were pretty close.
You know, I was on a show, TV show. I'm going to be on next week, the premier show. But one thing I was saying about, they were talking about black businessmen back in the 60s and everything, in the 70s. All these black businessmen, they knew each other. They hung out with each other. And the same thing holds
right.
true with our entertainers and everything. We knew each other. You know, we reached for one another, and they knew who he was. He performing over there, they go see him. He performing over there, they go see him. And today you're just so separated like that. Let me ask you this here, Cicero. What is your relationship with Phil Johnson?
Phil and I are very good friends. You know, we don't do a lot of talking together, but we, we do talk, not a lot. But I was with Phil about a year ago, where we was presented an award called Keep the Music Alive Award, and I received a platinum on that, and Phil also received an award on it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But we do talk mm-hmm. occasionally. We don't talk a lot, but we do talk occasionally. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you this. Did you ever work with Curtis Mayfield?
Who is that?
Curtis Mayfield. Did you ever work with him?
No, I don't think so.
Because, he come out of Cabrini Green. He and Jerry Butler, they come out of Cabrini Green together, and they form the Impressions of one another.
Well, actually, the only ones I knew based out of the Impressions was Jerry. I knew him, I knew
Jerry
Sam, and Fred. I knew them,
mm-hmm.
And I didn't know Curtis as well as I knew the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and what about your relationship with Perv Staples?
With who?
Perv Staples. How was your relationship with him?
With Pervis?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, we knew each other, but we didn't really hang out, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there
mm-hmm.
was occasions where I did do some shows with Mabel. You know, we did some things
mm-hmm.
together. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But
well, this is what I want to say, because I want to say this here, because evidently none of you all are aware of the fact that the mayor had declared entertainment year 2020 in Chicago before this pandemic. And I'm going to
yeah.
make an effort, a genuine effort, to go at the mayor's office. What I would do is I would go at the mayor's office of special events. And all of y'all, you know, we can get together and do a Zoom concert to help yourself as well as help all these foundations that we all have. But listen, I want everybody to hang on for a minute because Candace, I want you to see if you can find that cut by Cicero Blake. I want to dip my dipper, and we're going to take a 5-minute break, and we'll be back for heaven's sake. Don't nobody go away. Candace, have you got that?
Let that one play.
I got caught up in a trap that I'm not too proud of. You see, but part-time
plaything. That's not sticky, my dear.
It's all right, let it play.
She greets me with a smile.
Well, okay, Sanders, I don't think that's what we're looking for. Who is that?
No, let it play.
Huh?
The love set my soul on fire.
Was that you, Cicero?
Yeah, that's me. I want to hear that one.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Cicero Briggs.
I love to dip my dipper.
Well.
Into somebody else's dipping.
All right now.
I say I love to dip my dipper into somebody else's dipping. Dipping is a little bit neater.
All right, now.
A little bit sweeter when I'm dipping my dipper into somebody else's dipping.
Okay, Cicero, I can see why they didn't want you playing that on the radio right then.
Now,
and there.
Fella who lived next door.
Because I was telling the truth.
Who never stays at home. He goes out all the time. Leaving his little sweet woman all alone. But that don't bother her. She really don't even care. Cause two flicks of a kitchen light, and she'll find me standing there.
All right now.
Oh, I like to dip my dipper. I say I like to dip my dipper into somebody else's
dipping. Sanders, can I hear you, honey? Okay. That's our guest there. That's Cicero Bledge and his dipper. Listen, I want you to find Coco Taylor's Wang Dang Doodle. I want them to hear a little piece of Wang Dang Doodle. And you know, the thing about these European artists, Rolling Stones, all of them. Come on with it, baby. Trademark, and
oh, yeah.
She was
yes.
truly a giant in the industry. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Miss White,
yeah,
what would you like us to play
thing.
With Artie? Go ahead, come on, Cicero. Mm-hmm.
No, I'm going to say another thing that I admired about Coco. They were talking earlier about the things she would do. Well, I had an opportunity for Coco to do something for me at one time.
Mm-hmm.
I was had a bad car accident, and she came to see me and brought me some money, you know. And not
okay.
only that, but she came to see me twice. And the last time I was in the hospital at that time, she came to see me. But Coco was always looking out for other entertainers. And I could say one thing, I had the pleasure of working with her a couple of times down at the Kings, like the name of the place. And but anyway, mm-hmm. we was on the show with Otis Rush. Show down there together, yeah. And I think that was for the Nurses Association from Mount Sinai Hospital at the Park West. That's the place I'm trying to think of, the Park West. So we're the same. We did
Miss White, what would you like for us to play off of Artie? Cause I want to hear I'm in love with the bag lady. But what would you like for us to play? I just love that song.
That's fine. Or you can play Man Is Home Tonight or Bag Lady.
Your Man Is Home Tonight. That's also one of my favorites. All right, here you go, y'all. Here you go.
I'm a lonely for my baby.
Listen, I ought to be sitting up in the restaurant holding court. Everybody's sitting around. The boss used to holler at the waitress and instead of them working, they're sitting around listening to one of all these stories. Come on, Artie.
And when I read the letter, it made me want to come home. I said, I'm going to take the tension off you, baby, because I'm on my way. And I guarantee you it won't be long. Honey, I'm on my way. Won't take long, ooh, no. Ooh, one more day. Can you hold yourself together? Just remember that I'm your fella. Tonight when we make love, baby, we won't be dreaming.
Candace, are you there? Okay, Candace, are you there? I would like to take a few phone calls if we can. We got anybody on the line? Listen, I'm looking for Pamela Durham. See if we got a Pamela Durham on the line, too.
Pamela Durham, if you're on the line, press 1 on your dial tone. We do have someone that showed up. Shelly Mancion from Los Angeles.
Okay.
Shelly
Mancion.
Well, hello.
Hey,
like
Shelly.
Welcome everybody to Canon Media. Hey.
Hey.
You guys, I am Nick Cannon's cousin. I am Shelly Mancion. I would like to say that I've been able to listen in on everybody, and the show is so delightful. But I know when my cousin Nick Cannon and Mr. James Cannon, his father, hears this, that they're going to be totally just stoked. The guests tonight are just amazing. And we have an excellent archive of Clifton shows. Clifton, you have brought in an excellent array of guests here tonight. And I've just been sitting back just bumping to the music and let them know we are definitely the new generation. And that new generation, love all y'all because you've left such a great stain of influence in such a positive way for all of us that you should see some of us back here behind the scenes. I mean, we look awesome. I mean, I seen Clifton yesterday, and he keeps it going for your generation. You guys do have the fashion and the flair, and I can see where Hollywood and the music world definitely have created such an iconic forum for my cousin Nick. My cousin Nick has done movies and music. He's hosted shows. Right now he's hosting Mass. He also has a talk show coming out. So Nick Cannon has taken a lot from you all, and so have I myself. And so as this new generation of Hollywood comes in, thanks to Miss Candace Carey, from the Drumline movie, who is one of Nick's greatest allies here in this game. And a game, I say it is, because look at us. We are on the radio game, and everyone is hearing us worldwide. So thank you for being a part of Canon Media. My name is Shelly Massion. I am the local Canon baby, they would say. I am your local Canon baby. And if you need us, let us know. If you would desire a show with us, please ask Clift. How did he become a part of the network? And I'm sure he'll tell you. So thank you all for being a part of the Canon Media Network. And you all
thank
have
you for that.
Excellent
thank you so
show.
Much.
Thank you.
Thank you, baby. Thank you. Listen, to my guest, that's the big boss. She's actually the one that brought me on duty. But I want to take some phone calls now. I'm hoping that somebody will call in and ask some questions about some of you guys that wasn't able to ask before. Have we got anybody, Candace, on the line?
Yeah, sure. Caller from area code, 1965. Welcome to the show. You're on the air. Okay. Paula. Is it Paula Dorham? Dorham, you're on the line? Okay. Can you turn your volume down just a tad for me, please? Welcome to the show, Paula. You're live on the air. Okay. Let's see. Down the line. Caller. Who is this? 2133.
You know. What I want my guests to know is that we go all over the world, so I ain't gonna tell them where, who, and who may call us in. And
right.
I'll be on the line.
I know. Candace, I think callers. Come on here. Yeah, I'm here. I'm here. Let's see. There's a number.
What you can do, Candace, you can take the
44.
Question. You can take the question and then relay this question to us, baby. Mm-hmm.
In a okay, absolutely. I got you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, go ahead. Continue. The show is lovely. Callers, if you want to talk, press one down tone. That way I will be notified in the back office, and I can unmute mm-hmm. you.
Well, you know, one of the things that I want to say is that this opportunity that I have to work with Canon Media, we have 10 million stories in the city of Chicago. And by Nick having a desire to be the czar of media, we can make it happen for him right here in Chicago. You know, he's an independent situation there. He's a thinker on his own, along with Mr. Cannon. I can see why Nick, the way he is, because I've been following Mr. Cannon lately, you know. And everything is spiritual, you know. Right now, we have a president that he's dangerous. He's dangerous to the world, you know. He's dangerous to the world. And by the way, today pledged $5 billion. Today pledged $5 billion to be given to the black community for development. This man would do anything under the sun, including throw his own children under the bus for him to stay in that presidential office. And the man is saying also that in the event that he doesn't win the election, he may not leave anyway. They're going to really have to go get federal troops to pull him up out of there. So that's crazy, you know. But anyway, on behalf of Nick Cannon Media, I just want to say once again, thanks to everybody for coming by. And Ms. White, what you want to say, honey? Are you with us?
Okay. Well, you have a caller. Caller 6075, you're live on the air. Welcome.
Hi, this is Veda. Can you hear me?
Okay, I can hear you now, honey. Yes.
Awesome. I'm definitely enjoying the show. Hey, Candace. This is Veda. I'm calling from San Diego.
Hi, LaVeda.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, lady. I'm enjoying the show. Look, I grew up listening to Betty Wright. No pain, no gain. After the pain. If I'm correct, if that's Miss Betty Wright. So, you know, one thing that I can definitely say about our generations, now I'm in my 40s, my young 40s, and the generation after us, I see that we've lost a lot of respect and loyalty. And I use this term loosely from the older or the elder in the community. You guys are our foundation. You guys give us the wisdom. It's more of an entitlement, you know, generation. We think we're supposed to have. When I've watched some of the behind the scenes, where we have to learn some endurance. We have to learn that we have to work for what it is that we really want. And I just definitely appreciate, like songs like that just taught me how to love, you know. And so some of the music, a lot of the music now have, like, really switched up. And I know it's for today's era. But what I would love just to really leave saying is that we have to remember those that imparted that love piece in us so we can understand what respect and loyalty is, on top of staying grounded and rooted as we continue to grow as a community. I'm definitely enjoying this this radio show, and I'll just look forward to tuning in even more.
Oh, thank you so much, sweetheart. Okay, great. Candace, who else you got?
From here, I'll let you know. When the doorbell rings, and that means you have a guest.
Right, okay. I'm really kind of disappointed because I was looking for Pamela Durham to come on board. They're Durham Hair Care Products, and they are a success story as far as the cosmetic industry is concerned. But in case she doesn't come in and come on, we go back to Ms. White. Ms. White, what is you like to talk to us about, you know, as we get closed down? And you can see that these people are enjoying knowing about us and how we create, you know, we open the door for what's going on today. What do you want to say, Ms. White?
First, I would like to say thank you for the opportunity to come on. It's always a pleasure and honor for me to be able to do anything that will carry on the legacy of my husband. Also, through my husband, and because he and Mr. Blake were so close, I am now Mr. Blake's manager. So if anyone wants to book him, just give me a shout out through Blues Bar Production.
Hey, give him that number. Give him that number to call. Okay. What number would they call if they want to book Cicero?
312-354-0300. Again,
okay.
That's Blues Bar Productions at 312-354-0300.
Okay. Okay, now listen, we're coming out of Chicago where blues originated, so give us a call and we'll be there. We'll travel. We got music that we'll travel, and we got a history that we'll travel. What about you, Cookie? What would you like to speak about now at this time, sweetheart?
I'd just like to give a shout out to all of the great blues artists, up and coming artists. God bless you. Thank you for carrying the torch for the legends and the late legends that are gone on. And I also want to thank you, Cliff, for the opportunity. It's truly a privilege and an honor. Any time that I can speak on behalf of my mother and an opportunity for the next generation to hear of her, thank you for that opportunity and all those that are involved in making this evening happen for my mother and as well for the blues. Thank you.
Yeah, I want to thank you too, sweetheart, especially being her birthday, so we're celebrating her birthday tomorrow and today and tomorrow, you know. So Coco did
right.
leave us with a legacy, you know. And matter of fact, Chicago has a legacy of the blues, period. If you like my show, this is how we're going to roll. We're going to roll like this. People that you wouldn't normally get a chance to talk to or hear about, we're going to always have someone on our show that you can talk to, ask some questions about. And Black History, let me tell you again, about the Rolling Stones. I may have told this story before, but when the Rolling Stones came to America, they came to Shea Stadium, okay? It was 54,000 people at Shea Stadium. That was their first appearance in America. And so all the reporters ran up on the stage after the concert, and they asked him, well, Mick Jagger, now that you're in Chicago, what the first place you want to go? Who's the first place you want to see? And he said, I want to meet Willie Dixon. 54,000 people there. Nobody knew who Willie Dixon was. Okay? And it was Mick Jagger who was able to get Willie Dixon his royalties and all the records that he had written for. And guys like Otis Rush and Memphis Slim, all those guys that went over to Europe, and all the white boys was hearing the Beatles, and all they was hearing was black blues music. So when they came over here, that's all they knew about, and that's how they played like that. And again, I would say that VJ Records, Cicero, are you familiar with VJ Records?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I did some recording for him.
Okay, okay. Now, believe it or not, she had the rights to the Beatles. Okay, she had the rights to the Beatles, and they took them from her. And it was Jimmy Carter. She was he had a label out of Gary, I do believe, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So and I will give credit. Cicero, were you there night that Mick Jagger and all of them went down to Buddy Guy? Was that Buddy Guy? Who was that? No, that was...
it was Buddy Guy, the Checkerboard Lounge on 43rd.
The Checkerboard. Yeah, the Checkerboard.
And, you know, I think I was there that night. I'm almost sure I was there.
Okay, where they had the Howling Wolf, Muddy Waters.
Yeah.
And we had a club right here on 73rd and College that Mick Jagger came through, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know,
now, you had a club
one of the worst.
How did you get by me? Why I never worked for you?
Huh?
Why didn't I ever work for you?
And that's a good question. That's why I was so glad when Miss White did that thing for you. But listen,
I don't work almost every club that ever been in the city of Chicago. And from the north side to the west side.
Well, I was just getting started. You know, I was up and coming. And Mr. Barnes put his arms around me and, ever since then, I've been with him operating the East of the Ryan. And, you know, one of the things that Otis Redding, Roger Redding's brother said, man, you can have the East of the Ryan up there. Why don't you just start doing some local acts? You know, you don't have to try to bring in some of these big acts. Bring in some local acts. So I plan to do that as soon as this pandemic is open. And now that I got Cookie, I got Miss White, I got yourself, we're going to form some kind of coalition here in Chicago, and we're going
to
keep live entertainment going in our city.
We need to do that real bad.
We're going
to
do that. You know, because, see, one of my dreams anyway, listen, if you don't know, Cicero, I don't know if you remember, but the Club de Lisa on State Street.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Oh, yeah.
They used to have a Blue Monday party. I don't care what entertainer you was, whoever you was, you came to the Club de Lisa when you got through working, and that's where all the entertainers hung out at. And
I'll tell you something else. There used to be a club on Mondays. Everybody would go to called the Trocadero, which was
the Trocadero, right?
47, is that 47 in Indiana?
Mm-hmm,
and you could
mm-hmm.
go there on Monday. We call that the unemployment station, because anybody you wanted to see would be in there on Mondays.
Absolutely. You know, Matt, last week I had Marshall from the Shylights. Me and him had a long talk. And Marshall told a story about how he got to be the drummer for Gladys Knight because her drummer hadn't got back before the show started. And Marshall hollered that I can play. And Marshall played up and down 63rd. Played at three or four clubs at one time.
Would you believe at one time that Marshall and the Shylights and all of them was on the same recording label?
Is that right?
That's right. We was all on the same label. Everyone was managed by the same person. It was the Shylights, the Emotions, myself. You know, we was all was on the same label.
Okay. Now, do you know the story on the Emotions and what happened with them and the Emotions when they were Sax Recording Studio? You know, Perv had them on the contract. Listen, when you ain't making no money, and somebody got a contract on you where they get 50% of your money, that's okay, because you ain't getting nothing anyway. But when you start making $10,000, they get $5,000 of it. You know, that's the bottom line. That's a situation that with the Emotions, and probably next week we'll be able to tell you exactly when Pamela Hutchinson, who's one of the Emotions, passed away this past week. And I say, you know, they graduated from Parker High School, and they were a gospel group called the Hutchinson.
Well,
they were the Hutchinson
Sunbeam. I'll tell you something. In my earlier years of recording, the Emotions used to do background for me.
Is that right?
They did background on some of my early music. They did background. Mm-hmm. The Dales, all of them did backgrounds on my early songs in the 60s.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I would like to do, Miss White, Cookie, and yourself, Cicero, is that I have the East of the Ryan. I have a place to work out of. Mr. Barnes let me write my own check there. But once again, I would just like to see this whole South Side become an entertainment hub. And by me being associated now with this Nick Cannon Media family, entertainment is need to be come back to these clubs. Okay. A person with some dress clothes on and some dress shoes on, he ain't gonna be so subject to fight right away. Okay, so I'm just saying, let's sit them down, let's calm them down, let's put music back in our own place, and let's generate our own, take care of our own community with live entertainment, our nightclubs, our dinner, the whole nine yards. And it may be up to us, it might be us seniors that have to put that back together, but I'm on for it. I got the club. The East of the Rand holds 700 people, and with a place holding 700 people, you can make some money. Okay, I had Bobby Bland there. I had Shylights there. I had Holly Maxwell there. I had Brooke Benton there. I had Gloria Lynn there. I tell you who else I had. I had the Count Basie Orchestra there. Listen, I had Cicero Blake there. He was on the show with Bobby Rush at the time. I've had Bobby Rush there several times.
Oh yeah.
But
Bobby comes every day.
Is that right? He's doing fine, right?
Yeah, we talked yesterday, so we constantly stay in contact with each other.
I believe that the Cannon Media family has given me a green light to make things happen in Chicago. So that's a blessing for all of us. And let's get together and let's show them what we can do. Let's show them what we can do in Chicago. It ain't all about the shooting and the killings here. We're a great city. We're a place of entertainment. This is where Quincy Jones came from. This is where the Jackson 5 actually came from. This is where the five staff came from. Don Cornelius came from here. I could go on and on that all the different people that came out of Chicago. Joe Williams, I can tell you the story about Joe Williams came out of Chicago. I can go on and on with that. Chicago has a rich history that Cannon Media can bring out into the forefront and get everybody to get paid and do it so at the same time. Candace, have we got anybody else on the wire?
Not yet. You're all doing very well. It's a great show.
I would like
to leave you right now.
Say
what again, Cicero? I said, if it's all right, I would like to leave you right now.
Okay. Yes. Well, I'll tell you what, Candace, when do we come to Chicago? Okay. I don't know if we're having a media hookup problem, but let me say this, October 4th.
I'm here. We'll be there October the 1st. But the 50-yard line is on the 4th.
Okay,
yes.
We want to deal with just the 4th right now. October 4th, we're going to be at the 50-yard line. That's on 75th and Wahlberg. I'm inviting everybody to come there. I particularly chose that place because it's big enough for us to have some people in there and at the same time practice social distancing. And as next Sunday, we will be there, and it's free. Just come in. Candace has written a book called Dreamland, and we're going to sign her book, buy her book, and we're just going to fellowship. And I'm going to invite everybody that I know who's written a book, please come and please bring your book.
Come one, come all. Yes,
next
absolutely.
Next Sunday, it's going to be at the 50-yard line. We're going to be there. And, Cicero, your story is a story within itself. So we might get some storylines out of this. Let's, like you said, Nick Cannon wants to be a major media production company. And all of us got stories to tell. We can keep Hollywood working for years just talking about the stories that come out of Chicago. So, once again, that's going to be Sunday from 3 until 6, Sunday at the 50-yard line, 75th and Wahlberg.
Okay.
It's going to be free. Everybody come. Tell your friends to come. Cicero, all the entertainers you know that are still living, please tell them to come and meet this group that I'm fortunate to be working with. Ms. White, before we get out of here, is something you'd like to say? Yes, sir. 50-yard line. Ms. White, is there something you want to say before I go?
For me?
Yes.
No, I just like to say good evening to everyone and have a blessed week.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Are you listening? What
Okay. Cookie, have you got something for us?
No, I'm just ready to sign out, but wishing everybody well. Please stay safe during this pandemic, and COVID-19, remember to wear your mask, remember to social distance, and most of all, remember to pray.
There we go. Right. Thank you, love. Thank you so much. All right. Sister Rowe, before you get out of here, what do you want to say to us, man?
Well, I just want to say I appreciate you having me on today, and hopefully we can do lots of more. And
This is just the beginning.
We just want everybody to stay safe and do what you're supposed to do. And we all get together.
I can almost tell you all now, as we speak, I'm going to put a blues concert together for New Year's. You can put it on your calendar. New Year's, I'm going to be doing a show. Sister Rowe, you will be on the show. You will be the opening act. It's going to be at the East of the Rand because it's big enough for us to social distance. And the show is not going to be about making no money. It's just going to be about fellowshipping. We're going to fellowship with one another. And whatever money we make, we all split it up among us. Okay? But more than anything, because you got fans out here that still want to hear you, Sister Rowe. You know, are you 100 years old? Listen, you're 100 years old, but it's some women still think you sexy. You know, so the bottom line, we're gonna have us a good time at the Easter Rhyme. So save your time for January. We're going to celebrate blues in Chicago.
You know what I was thinking about?
Yes, sir.
I'm gonna pass this on to you. Well, I was thinking in terms of like I was saying, there's only a few of us left. As I call it, Last of the Mohegans. There's only two left. I would like to see a show whereas all the older artists would get together and we'd do a show. The older
we can make that happen. Some of the Dales are still living.
Some of the Dales are still living.
Let me tell the people about Clarence Carter there, because what they don't know is that the DJs make a record. Okay, Clarence Carter did not know he had a hit like that. He had to go back in the studio and clean that record up so he can be played on the radio. When that record he talking about, when he said, "I'm stroking. One leg in the east, one leg in the west. I'm in the middle trying to do my best. I'm stroking." Okay? That became a million seller for him. I'm going to tell you another record that me and my friend broke, and that's for a boy named Jeffrey. He made Love Is Gonna Last. Love Is Gonna Last. Listen, he was living in Detroit broke. And we started playing that record. Next thing you know, it became the number one song for steppers in Chicago. Love Is Gonna Last. We're going to make this year happen. Ladies and gentlemen, those of you that are tuning into our show, this is how we do it. This is how we roll. It's nothing special. We just people from the streets that know how this world goes. And we invite you into our world of Nick Cannon Media, where we produce and create some of the best conversation in the city of Chicago. And I want to say on behalf of Nick Cannon and the Media Foundation, thank all of you all for being our guests. And we're going to see you all October 4th at the Yard Line. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Candace?
Hey, how you doing?
Wake up!
Wake up! It's time for Just Chicago's Neighborhood Talk with Clifton Pierce, a Cannon Media and Axe Entertainment Artists, Inc. production.
Thank you.